What other phenomena were you interested in at that time?
Well, I may say this compression bond also supplied the answer to another problem plaguing the underwater cable. First transatlantic cable with the repeaters had an acceptable transmission characteristic when it was made, but it's found that as a function of time, the attenuation decreased, and this played sort of havoc with the gain adjustment. And while there were some adjustable fixtures, a question arose as to whether the cable would have to be abandoned. Our department was called in to investigate this phenomenon. It was found to be due to the fact that the outer conductor was made of copper pieces laid in the form of a helix around the outside insulation. This was a method that had been used in constructing telegraph cables and was also used in the New York-Havana telephone cable. When the cable was made, there was a fair insulation between adjacent members of the helix. As a result, the current path was a little larger than in the outside layers, and this added about 100 dB to the total attenuation of about 1100 dB. At the large hydrostatic pressure at the sea bottom, the helical copper pieces were pressed together and a join between them occurs as a function of time. They tend to become a complete layer with a reduced attenuation. The solution to this problem was to do away with the helical springs, strips, make the outer conductor a complete concentric layer. This has been done in later cables, and no aging is observed.